Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Hello, everybody, and another good Biblical Citizenship Alive program today. I'm here with Kelly Hansen. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. And Kelly's our co-host, joined us last week and is doing a great job. She has a good radio background, so we're going to tackle this together. We're going to chat a few minutes about some contemporary issues, and then we have a special guest today from Summit Ministries, who you'll definitely want to hear, who just a few months ago came back from Israel. And obviously a very troubled situation there, and he's going to share some insights. But first of all, in terms of just current topics that are worth thinking about is, as you know, we have a presidential team of Democrats here that are made up of probably the nation's most liberal left-wing group ever. It's interesting because we have somebody from California here who has been our vice president for 3.5 years, and then we have the governor of Minnesota. And a little trivia, and I'm going to catch you off guard here, Kelly, a little bit, but when's the last time we had a candidate from Minnesota that ran for president?
Ooh, that is a great question. I will not have the answer for you.
You'll
have to give it to us.
You're too young for this. You're too young for this. But the gentleman by the name of Hubert Humphrey. And Hubert Humphrey replaced when Lyndon Johnson, a bit like Joe Biden, decided not to run again, though he announced months and months ahead. The Democratic Party ended up selecting Hubert Humphrey, who was a senator from the state of Minnesota. Hubert Humphrey was probably the most left-wing senator in the Senate in those days. So in 1968, he challenged a fellow from California by the name of Ronald Reagan. And needless to say, I believe, I'd have to check my facts here, that the only state that voted for Humphrey was his home state of Minnesota. And so Reagan basically swept the place and really made a huge change in things. So we've got some real challenges for biblical citizens to think about. To me, it's quite simple who you would support when you look at issues like the border, abortion, the economy, and transgender surgery and whatnot. So, you know, it's we have a There's no fog factor here, Kelly. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, but Steve, I know that you do see a lot of people who are hesitant with the rhetoric of Trump, and I agree with you. I mean, when you're looking at the issues, you're looking at the policies, it's a no-brainer. What do you think is holding people up when it comes to voting for Trump?
Well, it is true that it's a little hard to believe that we're a nation split almost 50-50, and that's even a close call. But I think a lot of it is, I'll give you an example. Unless somebody from Minnesota, actually, that left Minnesota, and I were talking a couple days ago, and he made a very wise comment. He says, a lot of people don't get very excited about this issue until maybe their house is burning down, until it really affects them. Recently, I was doing a bank transaction with, you know, fairly sophisticated bank professional, and I they asked me what I'd been up to lately, and I said, well, you know, I went to Milwaukee to the Republican national convention enjoyed it and everything. And so I asked her, I said, did you watch any of that on TV? And she says, no. But I went to Comic-Con, and I thought, isn't that the exact issue? Here we have a banking professional who, Kelly, we were dealing with a fairly complex wire transaction. And getting through that, and in her mind, the whole issue of what was going on in the country was secondary to Comic-Con.
Wow. Yeah, and that's what we're dealing with right now in this society, is a lot of people who are more willing to put time and effort into things that don't matter, and they're not willing to put their time and effort into our future and our kids' future. So I think technology has been an issue. Like you said, I think some of these distractions like Comic-Con have been the issue, but maybe selfishness, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how people aren't more involved now that, like you said, everything has been affected in their lives, whether it's finances, parental rights, a lot of their freedoms. You would think that a lot of people would be involved at this point. So it is, it's mind-blowing.
So here we are today listening to Kelly Hansen, Steve Austin on Biblical Citizenship Alive, and brought to you today by the Save America Now PAC. So today, as I mentioned earlier, we have a special guest with us, Dr. Jeff Myers. Dr. Jeff Myers is president of Summit Ministries. Summit is a 60-year-old ministry based in the Colorado Springs area. And Jeff is actually only the second president of Summit. The founding president, Dr. David Noble, who's still alive, but has retired, and Jeff took over. Jeff is a college professor, got his doctorate in philosophy from the University of Denver, has written almost 24 books, I think 18 to 20 books. So he's a prolific writer, a prolific speaker, and most importantly, is making a big difference today in the minds and lives of young people. In full disclosure, and Kelly, I was, the program started in Colorado in the early 1960s, and my sister and I were participants, I believe, in the second or third year. So that'd be like 1966, 67. And we were still in high school in those days, but we had an opportunity to go to Summit Ministries and have some impact in our, a big impact in our lives. But I'm going to let, first of all, Jeff talk to us about what is Summit Ministries and what are they doing in the lives of young people.
Yeah, hey, Steve. Hey, Kelly. It's great to visit with you. Summit Ministries, as you mentioned, Steve, is based in Colorado. And for more than 60 years, it has equipped and supported the rising generation to embrace God's truth and to champion a biblical worldview. So we work with young adults who are on their way to a college or university to help them stand strong in their faith and to have strong biblical reasons for whatever it is they study and to bring biblical thinking to bear. And it has had a profound impact on a lot of lives, including my own, but people who've become leaders in the military and in government and in business and medicine, science, all different areas, living out their faith. And we have recently crossed the figure of training 1 million students. So I think in a lot of ways, what Summit Ministries has been enabled to do by the Lord has had a profound impact on our country.
Well, I certainly have to echo that. You know, in our church, I've been on the board of Summit for a few years here. Didn't think I'd ever be a student and actually on the board of Summit, but I've had an opportunity to work with you and your staff, and we had the opportunity to encourage young people from our church, probably 7 or 8 or 9 now, to go. And a lot of times they'll go for 2 years. They get, I think we refer to them as Summit junkies, that they love it so
yeah,
much.
They come for 2 weeks at a time. I should mention that. They don't stay with us for the 2 full years.
That's right. That'd be too much. Now, Kelly, how many teenage boys do you have?
I actually only have one. So my eldest is now 14, and then below that is 12 and 9-year-old twins.
Okay. So Kelly is married to a firefighter, and somebody told me those boys snap to when mom says, get dressed and get going.
Absolutely. You got to teach them right. Yeah. You got to get them prepared nice and young.
So, Jeff, we've got the co-host today has four candidates for you. How would you...
I love it.
How would you talk her into, which I don't think would be very hard, to getting involved in Summit Ministries with her sons?
Well, Kelly, you know, as a mom, one of the things you always have to wonder about and try to figure out as a parent is how do you keep your kids strong in their faith? You know that 70% of young adults who were significantly involved in church in their high school years are no longer even attending church by the time they reach their mid-20s. They lose the plot. If there was a program where 95% of the students who come out of the program say they embrace a biblical worldview, and even 10 years later, 85% say they embrace a biblical worldview, as opposed to 1% of their peer group, would you not move heaven and earth to make that happen for them?
Absolutely. And just like you, I mean, I'm working hard at home on that, but to have somebody who's out there like yourself, and especially a man who can be an influence for these boys, I'm absolutely sold. Keep going. You got me already, Beth.
All right.
What's the youngest age, Jeff?
The students are, you know, they're 16. Some 16-year-olds come, and the average age, I would say, is 18. So this last class that we just completed, those young adults, when I asked them how many will be voting this fall, about half the hands went up. So they're 18 or newly 18, trying to figure out how to be citizens as well as just young believers. And then the other students are some a little bit older, some a little bit younger, but right about 18 would be the average.
Wow, that's incredible. And let me ask you this, is there an option? I know you're based out of Colorado. Even though I want to get out of California, I don't know that Colorado is where we want to go necessarily. Not much of a difference there. But is there an option online, Jeff?
We have two in-person programs for the two-week program. And one is in Lookout Mountain, Georgia. The other one is in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Both are great locations. We also have an online program where students can come, and they could do that one a little bit younger. But in that online program, they take a week, and it's I don't know how to describe it. I do not know how our hosts do it, but they turn it into the most fascinating week of their lives, even though they're online.
Yeah, I encourage, though you'd probably have to spread them out a little bit, Kelly, I would encourage you to think about getting them there, you know, as early as possible, because a lot of times they do want to come back for a second session. But these sessions, Jeff, run from about mid-May till mid-September, is that right?
Till the end of August. So we are in our second to last Colorado session of the summer. George is done. We also have a week-long program in Kentucky in conjunction with Asbury University that focuses on entrepreneurship from a biblical worldview. But the programs are all completed. Just about everybody is back in school. But the last 2 weeks of August, we will have one final class for this summer. And we still have seats available for that. That's one where, you know, a lot of people are already back in school. So it's hard for them to make that time work. But they will, and we'll have 175 students who are with us during that 2 weeks.
So, Kelly, to kind of show a contrast, when I was there in the mid-60s, we had about 20 students in the same auditorium that's being used today. I had an opportunity several years ago to go back because my daughter works with the U.S. Olympic teams in Colorado Springs, and I said, I'm going to see if I can find the Summit Hotel, which is this very interesting historic hotel at the foot of Pikes Peak. And sure enough, I was able to go there, and it was kind of in the fall. It was closed down, but somebody let me in. And in many ways, the lobby and the auditorium where I made my first public speaking address, it was part of the, for you to graduate after a two-week program, you had to stand up and do like a 5 or 10 minute presentation, and they taught you how to breathe and talk and all that good stuff. But it brought back a rush of memories. And when I think back of the tremendous faculty then and the faculty you have now. What in some ways it's the same, but in many ways it's quite different. Talk to us a little bit about what's a typical day at Summit for a young person.
Well, they would have a lot of classes with top Christian thought leaders in apologetics, economics, theology, philosophy, people who love Jesus, who've been in the arena. And that's important, Steve and Kelly, because, you know, it's one thing to have somebody teach on something that they've only marginally experienced. It's another thing to have people who've been in the environment that young adults are going into, where they're going to be deeply challenged in their faith. Speak to them. And then they have Q&A times. The students are allowed to ask any questions they want. And trust me, they know how to ask tough questions. They feel safe to ask the questions that are really on their hearts and minds. And then they have meals together. They have small groups together. They have one-on-one time with mentors. So it's very intellectual, but it's very personal at the same time. Just had a student come who's a high-level college basketball player, and he said, I want to do this. I understand what you're doing. I've never sat in class that long in my life. I do three practices a day for my sport. And I asked him, how's it going? He said, man, it's a lot of class. But I have absolutely loved every minute of it because I'm learning so much about reality and about truth and about how to see things and what's going wrong in the world and how I myself can live with a strong sense of purpose.
And one of the great things, Kelly, is the friendships you make. My roommate from 1966 and I still talk to each other, Dr. Tim Tusink, who became a surgeon and worked for many years in Ethiopia with AIDS patients, believe it or not. And so we stay in touch from time to time. But, you know, I think one of the interesting aspects about this hotel is it provides an experience. It has a huge front porch, and it has rocking chairs and whatnot on the front porch. And I still have memories of some of the professors, Jeff, you, Dr. Noble, during the break times would go out, maybe at lunch or whatever, just sit on the front porch, and students just, you know, feel very comfortable having a conversation about all
That's
kinds
exactly
of
right.
issues in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't find that environment, you know, in this country where people are just relaxed enough. And it's not an intimidating discussion, but it's a discussion that is based on biblical worldviews and then helping the student arrive at a biblical solution to, you know, for the most part, they're not going to get that in the universities. You know, the great
That's
thing
right.
is the... Talk to us a little bit about the Understanding the Times series.
Yeah, I sure will. But I will mention, Steve, we still have those open forums on the front porch every day. Today was John Stone Street from the Colson Center. Yesterday I did a Q&A specifically on Israel and Palestine because a lot of students are on campuses where they're experiencing protests. The day before, Dr. Sean McDowell was with us, the son
wow.
of Josh McDowell.
Wow.
He's a graduate of the program. But that just gives you a sense of the access that the students have to people who are really working at a high level. But the Understanding of the Times course is something that a Christian school might do, a homeschool co-op. There are even 300 public schools in 12 different states where students can be released from their classes for an hour a day to study biblical worldview with us. And we call it Understanding the Times based on a kind of obscure passage in the Old Testament that talks about the tribe of Issachar coming to David's side as he prepared to become king. And they were noted because they had 200 leaders who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. And that's a theme for us. We want this generation of young adults to understand the times in America and know what America ought to do. I've got a bunch of students with us right now from New Zealand, and they're asking that question, how do we understand the times and know what New Zealand ought to do? I've had students from about 15 different countries this summer, everywhere, you know, from Mexico to Egypt to the Philippines to Indonesia, really all over the world who come and study with us. And so the impact has now become global.
Yeah, in fact, I think sometimes you have a hard time getting these kids to go home.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they do. They will tell me, I didn't know what I was getting into, but this is the best 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we take them seriously. We take ideas seriously. They know when yesterday when they were asking me questions about Israel, their questions are tough. They're really tough. I had a media guy a couple of days ago say, man, I'm so sorry in our interview that I felt like I was being really harsh on you. My questions are so hard. I said, oh, trust me. I've had Q&A sessions with more than 1,000 students this summer on this topic. Your questions are not tough. But, you know, can you imagine a place where you can go and just ask whatever you want? And that was my experience at Summit, by the way. I was one of those kids who was about ready to leave church because I just couldn't get answers. And I wanted them. And I thought either the church does have questions or I'm wasting my time. And I got to the Summit Ministries program. My parents arranged for me to attend. I went, to be honest, because it was in Colorado. And I wanted to go to Colorado for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But I saw David Noble, the founder of the program, and I said, man, I hope you have a lot of answers because I have a lot of questions. And he just said to me, you know what? At Summit, we aren't afraid of questions. Mm-hmm. I just knew I had found my tribe at that point. And not every young person is going to want to come through a program like this, but those who are learners, those who are curious, those who like to ask questions, those who know they're going off to a university and are maybe a little nervous about how their faith applies in a situation like that, they're going to find a new home at Summit.
Well, that's great. And the other thing is you guys do a lot of fun stuff. There's trips to the Air Force Academy and Pikes Peak and whitewater rafting. And, you know, I think, you know, they go to bed pretty tired every night, but that's good. That's why camp.
Yeah, we work hard and we play hard. That's how we roll.
Yeah. So, and anybody that's been to, you're listening today to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you today by Save America, now PAC. And anybody that's been to our PAC luncheons, in fact, Kelly, you were there when Jeff Myers spoke at the event that Trey Gowdy came to on Flag Day on June 14th this year. And one of the things that people always leave with is lots and lots of books. And a lot of folks left with at least one volume of the Understanding the Times and Understanding Your Faith or Culture. And so we're big believers, just like, as I tell folks, when I came, I would only pack half a suitcase. And the reason was that when I came to Summit, they had tables full of books. They were all 50 cents in those days. And my suitcase would go back to Indiana packed with books. So I had plenty to read for a year. I want to shift a little bit, Jeff, to some of the recent things you've been involved with in a geopolitical sense. You know, you are a well-known speaker, you're at podcasts and whatnot. But when you came to San Diego over a month ago now, you brought really and unveiled a book called Should Christians Support Israel? And seeking a biblical worldview in an impossible situation. And it's a very intriguing book, and it's really about a number of things, but it really starts off with your decision about 100 days after the October 7th event to actually go to Israel with a group of folks. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about this and the impact this book is having on Christians around the country?
I sure will. It seems to me one of the most important aspects of Summit's mission is to speak to the toughest issues of our day. We don't want to just tackle biblical worldview issues that are easy. We want to tackle the ones that are the hardest and see if we can help people think biblically about them. And I chose Israel in this particular situation because after October 7th, I began seeing polls done by reputable polling organizations showing that 60% of Gen Z, the rising generation, and these are voters who are in the poll, so 18 to 24 years of age, 60% of them said they thought that Hamas's murder, rape, and mutilation of 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children was justified because of Palestinian grievances. And that I was so bothered by it because I've been working with this generation for a long time, but even I was caught off guard by how radicalized they've become by leftist, progressive, and even Islamist propaganda. So I wrote an opinion editorial piece for Daily Wire called "Congratulations, America, You've Raised a Generation of Terrorist Sympathizers," which, of course, got a lot of attention, some negative, because people were upset that I was calling out the educators of this generation. You know, we teach our kids from the time they're little, don't be a bully. And if somebody is a bully, you need to stand up to them. We do not understand, however, how teachers have weaponized that compassionate impulse and turned it into a motivation to support a Marxist framework of the world. Of the, you know, we have the oppressors, and that would be Israel, that would be America. So anybody who rises up against them is righteous. They're, what they're doing is justified self-defense. I just was stunned by it. Well, that led to an opportunity to go to Israel to find out the facts on the ground. We get media articles every day. I kept wondering, how do we even know this? I know there are no reporters in Gaza. There aren't. The New York Times doesn't have any reporters there. Washington Post doesn't. They don't have reporters there. Where are they getting this information? And I was so, I don't know, I just felt like, as a former professor, this is a lot of propaganda. So I went there and I talked to everybody, people on the left and on the right, people who are secular Jews, religious Jews, Arabs, even Palestinian educators, intelligence officers, people in the IDF, journalists. And I felt that I was able to get a really good sense that this is not a battle of moral equivalence. This is not an oppressor state versus an oppressed group. This is, in fact, a democratic nation that's very diverse, that is standing up against an evil group of people, this group called Hamas, which is the enemy of the Palestinian people as well as the enemy of Israel. And when I came back to write up all of my notes, it really turned itself into a book, I think, by God's providence. And that book it's been distributed to every member of Congress and state legislatures all across the country. We've printed up 45,000 copies. They've already been distributed, and now we're doing another printing. So we're finding that the people who are leaders, and especially church leaders, who are trying to figure out how to address this issue with their congregation, are finding that it's a really important tool.
Well, yeah, and it's going through the book, it has, you want to, how would somebody get a hold of the book, first of all?
I want to give it to everybody who's listening to the show today. So if you're driving, don't write this down, but you'll be able to remember it. But if you just go to summit.org/Israel, summit.org, just remember that, you'll see it on the front page, but summit.org/Israel, and just hit claim my book, and I will send a copy to you as my gift.
Wow, that's terrific. That is really terrific. I mean, some of the chapter headings are intriguing, in terms of the first chapter is the gates of Gaza, Israel in wartime, the Israel you haven't heard about, which is a very intriguing chapter, and then the Israel of the Bible, bringing back, a bit of scriptural perspective. And it just goes on. It, one of the things I found interesting, Jeff, is the note that Hamas has been working for three decades to influence the Palestinians in their left-wing Marxist anti-God philosophy. And I would even go further to say, when you look at, I think at least a lot of the folks listening to this program today were probably absolutely shocked at the university, in whether it's Columbia or the Ivy League schools or others, that had this phenomenal, out here in San Diego, UCSD and UCLA, phenomenal uprising, and these tent cities that were put up, and an invasion of buildings supporting Hamas. Not so much the Palestinians, but they really believe that, Hamas has a position that should be supported. And then the university professors that stood with them is even more shocking. And of course, in many cases, the administration of these universities stood by and just watched things burn.
They did. That's exactly what happened. People have been really confused about how this is happening. First of all, most of the students who are protesting don't know a lot about what they're protesting. 55% of the protesters chanting "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," admitted to pollsters that they don't know what river and what sea they're chanting about. They don't know what that means, but they've been used as tools by people who are very wealthy and very powerful who want Israel to fail as a nation. And so then at the same time, you have people who are Islamists. This would be a radical group of Muslims who have an apocalyptic vision. The Shiites in Iran, for example, they believe that there will come a direct descendant of Muhammad, Muhammad al-Mahdi, be the 12th Imam, and he will rule the entire world as an Islamic caliphate and force everybody in the world to become Muslim. And they believe the one thing that is stopping this apocalyptic vision from coming true is the existence of the State of Israel. So they want Israel to be annihilated to the point where they will work with anybody. Hamas in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthi rebels from Yemen, and even professors on university campuses, if that's what it takes to try to take down Israel. I'll just mention one more thing about this. A lot of people have been wondering, why would you have groups like Gays in Gaza? That was a question one of the students asked yesterday. Gays for Gaza. What's going on there? Because they know full well that if they went there as a gay person, Hamas would throw them off of a building. Why would they want to support it? And the answer I gave to the student is, you know, there's an old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm. So who do you think the mutual enemy of the LGBT groups is that they hold in common with Hamas? And the student answered immediately, it would be God, the God of the Bible. I said, that's exactly right. So now you understand why it is the case that Islamists and leftist progressives who have nothing in common with one another except for their hatred of America would band together.
Well, that had to be a fascinating trip. Can you provide a little color, Jeff, on, when I, as a board member, first heard about this, I was concerned about your physical safety. Provide a little color on, you know, what that was like going 100 days after the October 7th situation.
Well, it wasn't as hard as you might imagine to get into a war zone. I did have a lot of questions and had to go through a lot of security briefings and so forth. Everybody there was wondering, why are you here? Don't you know we are in a war? And it was quite tense, but I was able to get from the airport in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and then from Jerusalem down to the war zone. This is hard to imagine for anybody who's been in Israel, but the war that's taking place right now is an hour and a half drive from Jerusalem. You can get there. And when you drive there, and of course we had a security guard with our small group, and when we were there on the ground, we were wearing Kevlar helmets and body armor because snipers are there. And we were close enough that they could have targeted us if they had wanted to. We were so close to Gaza that we were told when they shoot rockets, you will have 7 seconds to take cover before those rockets land. And we knew we were in the middle of it because we could see Gaza on one side in front of us, and then behind us we could hear the Israeli artillery targeting terrorist hideouts. So we were literally in the middle of all of that. And we were blessed and fortunate enough to have several IDF commanders who were willing to spend time with us and answer all of our skeptical questions. I brought all the questions I thought my students would be asking. Is this a just war? How can you say it's just? Isn't this genocide? What about proportionality? All of those kinds of things. And I will tell you, they patiently answered every question I had. And they didn't, I was never in a position where I felt like they were propagandizing me. They were just saying, well, here are the facts of what we know. I would ask questions like, well, how do you know who the terrorists are? I mean, maybe you're just going into Gaza and shooting everybody you see. And they said, well, no, we only shoot the terrorists. So I asked, how do you know the terrorists? And they said, oh, the terrorists are the ones that shoot at us. Mm-hmm. I said, wait a second. You're telling me you have to wait until they shoot at you before you could shoot at them. No American commander would ever let his or her troops go into a situation like that. And yet that's what they're doing. And we discovered along the way that the Israelis are taking unprecedented, extraordinary steps to protect non-combatants in Gaza and even provide them with the water and the food aid that they need. Of course, this is not making its way into the media, but that's what's going on. John Spencer, who's America's leading expert on protecting non-combatants in a time of war, said Israel has done more in this current situation than any army in history to protect non-combatants, including the United States and Iraq and Afghanistan. So those are the kinds of things you learn when you actually just go there. And it's obviously it's risky. You know, lots of bad things can happen there. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody because you have to confront. You know, we had a lot of briefings with video that showed the violence of October 7th. These are images that I will never be able to forget. And to sit down and talk face-to-face with people who are survivors of it, who were there that day, people whose family members were taken hostage, people who were there fighting on the ground and have been ever since. And many of them are everyday people. One of the guys we spent time with as a commander, he's a computer programmer at a very high level for a famous company from the United States that has an office in Tel Aviv. Another one was a professor at Tel Aviv University. To be honest, he's the kind of guy that he's the kind of guy I would train my students to be prepared for. He was, you know, a man of the left. But when it came to defending Israel, he was standing strong. And it was fascinating to have that time with him.
Well, I'll tell you, I personally want to thank you for the sacrifice you made to go there and get the facts and be able to write a book that is so clear and is really full of biblical worldview answers on what's going on in this country. Before I let you go today, I do want you to pivot a little bit. We're 100 days away from, roughly 100 days away from a pretty important presidential election, including a lot of local elections at the congressional level, senatorial level, and whatnot. Talk to us a little bit about what Christians should be doing now in light of the impending elections.
I didn't quite catch everything that you said, Steve. I think you were asking about the presidential, how this affects the presidential election.
Yeah, and really what the Christians in this country should be doing in light of the upcoming election.
Well, I believe, and you know, I've got a teaching coming out on this, a video course very soon. Should Christians avoid politics? And I'm making the case that it is a vital election in our lifetime for Christians to stand. You have got to vote, and you have got to vote. And I'm just encouraging people to look at who is going to support what is righteous in this election. I'm not one who believes that when you vote, you're compromising, that you're choosing the lesser of two evils. I believe you choose to lessen evil. And the things I'm taking to the ballot box are right in the Constitution, life, liberty, and property. I'm going to support people who believe and will act on the idea that it is always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. I'm going to vote for people who want to protect liberty, especially religious liberty. And I'm going to vote for people who want to who believe that the government should not try to confiscate people's private property through excessive taxation, but will have economic policies that allow for flourishing.
Well, Jeff, I think that's great. When do you have an idea when those programs will be available to the public? Is that something that'll be available on the summit website? How do you plan to get those out to the Christian community?
That video course?
Yes.
Yeah. That'll be coming out in September. So if you get the book, Should Christians Support Israel? Just go to summit.org/Israel. Then you'll give me your address and your email address, and as soon as the video course is available, I will let you know, because it might be one that you want to show to your Sunday school, your life group, to your church. And, you know, it's not partisan. I'm not saying which political candidate or which political party you should vote for. I'm just trying to outline what I think are the reasonable biblical principles that Christians should take with them when they go to vote.
Well, I think that's something all the listeners should take note of and make certain, particularly the pastors. As you know, Jeff, I have been challenging a number of pastors who have great leverage. They have great leverage because they're able to communicate to thousands every week, every Sunday, the importance of being biblical citizens and the importance of what's going on. You know, a lot of times we complain about all the dreadful things between transgender surgery, open borders, abortion, and yet about 40 million Christians didn't vote last time. And wow. A small fraction of those, well, about half of them aren't even registered, but a small fraction of those would have gotten rid of so many of the ungodly left-wing influences in this country. And a lot of it, I hate to say it, we kind of have to blame ourselves. But the fix is making sure that, like you said, the Sunday schools, the church services, meeting with voters, you know, ballot harvesting, for example, is legal in California. But getting people to actually wake up and do something to get rid of this. And, you know, I have visions every day of my grandchildren. And think about what kind of country are we leaving them? Are we just going to be self-aggrandizing and thinking about maybe the fruits of capitalism? Are we really going to preserve a country that you know, will give them you know, future generations of a pursuit of happiness and religious liberty and sanctity of life? Well, Jeff, this has been a treat to have you on. If somebody wanted to donate to Summit Ministries, how would you do that?
Well, we would welcome it. We're going to take any money that people donate and put it straight towards scholarships to get highly qualified, leadership-oriented students who've already demonstrated their leadership ability into the training programs that we offer throughout the year and in the summertime. So you just go to summit.org, and you'll see a place there where you can donate.
Well, that'd be great. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you today for your time and really not just unveiling more about Summit Ministries and the impact it's had on over a million college-age students, but also, you know, you have a publication division that puts a lot of great textbooks into hundreds of Christian schools around the country. And then, of course, the training that goes on every summer between Colorado Springs and Tennessee. So, and I appreciate the fact that you sacrificed to go to Israel at a time like this and to produce a document that should inspire every one of us. So I really appreciate you coming on today, and thank you for joining us here at Biblical Citizenship Alive.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Kelly. Thank you for what you're doing to just bring attention to the truth. Remember, you can't say that you're a person who understands the times unless you're also a person who knows what America ought to do. We have to do both of those things, and we have to do them at the same time.
Absolutely right. Thank you, Jeff. So you've been listening to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you today by Save America Now PAC. This PAC is a political action committee that was organized by some Christian men around the country and here in Southern California, primarily to do three things. Our principles are to honor the sanctity of life, to encourage and preserve religious liberty, and then also to make certain from an economic standpoint that we really support capitalism in this country. And understand that that's a biblical concept of making certain to think through our economy properly. The PAC does three things. It raises money for candidates, number one. So you can certainly donate. You can go to our website, called Save America Now PAC, and donate that way, and we get money to them. We also send out weekly e-blasts that are timely on current topics that are very important to cover. You know, what's going on in the election series right now, but also interesting issues. For example, the teaching of the Bible in the state of Oklahoma now is a fascinating, positive thing that's going on, because the Secretary of Education has said, well, you know, the Bible is really part of the history of this country, and we need to understand it. In Louisiana, as you folks may have heard, the Ten Commandments are now going back on the walls of the public schools. And so that's, you know, very encouraging. But we also have lunches that we don't charge for. We give away hundreds, thousands of books, and we have great speakers. We had Jeff Myers, who you just heard, spoke with Trey Gowdy and Congressman Bill Wells, who is up for election in the 51st District here in San Diego. So a lot of positive things going on. We have hundreds of supporters around the country, but we always need more support to continue this effort. And I want to say thank you to both Jeff today. We will be having more guest speakers each program that I think will be riveting and hopefully very informative, and most importantly, are motivating speakers that you know, that you want to listen to. And I'll put one last tease out there. I'm reading a book that I just got this week called Shepherds for Sale: How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. And I have to tell you, we'll cover it at another program coming up, but it is a fascinating book written by Megan Bashman, who writes for World Magazine and Wall Street Journal, and she's on Fox News. But it's a fascinating book because it has gotten into the understanding how the pulpit has been used to advance things like climate change and the LGBTQ agenda. So I'll tease you and let you know that in a future program, not too far in the distance, we will talk about that book. So again, I appreciate you listening today, and we look forward to another session here soon with Kelly and I on Biblical Citizenship Alive.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.